biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another transforming conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, welcome back to another transforming conversation. And before we get started today, I just want to thank you for those who email me and just thanking us for this ministry. This is something that we do off the cuff, and it is something that is not really planned. But I think God orchestrates a lot of these conversations that we have. And it's so good to hear that they are helpful, that they are encouraging you, and they are something that you find valuable. Well, Pastor Rock, thank you again for joining me. Without you again, these wouldn't be possible.
That's all right.
So, but we had just concluded taping this week's 91 Weeks of Transformation episode, and we were in the book of James. And some of the commentary you just gave, I would love to go back and just open this wide up if we could.
You're assuming I can remember.
Well, 10 minutes ago is a long time.
It is.
But we're looking at James chapter 3, and particularly verse 6. And I want to read that verse. It says, "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." Now, what you were speaking about in this episode of 91 Weeks was about the things that people say to us early on in life that can be damaging, that can be very...
That set the course of our life in many ways.
Right, and it does set the course. And there's a lot of folks that I personally know, and I'm sure we all could say we know somebody whose life's course is set by someone's mm-hmm. negativity and bad words. And so I would like to talk, I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about that. And there's a three-part step. I don't know if you meant to do that, but there's a three-part process that you alluded to that I'd like to visit as well about this whole thing. But before we get to that, if we could just talk a little bit about setting one's course of life through these damaging words.
Yeah. Well, I often, in my preaching and teaching, quote something I read years ago, and the topic was the power and the influence of words, and especially the labels people put on us, and especially labels put on us by significant people in our life, and especially parents. And right. A gentleman said, "A man can call his son a jackass once, but if he calls him a jackass every day, the day will come when he can put a saddle on his son and ride him."
Wow.
Very symbolic language, obviously, but powerful symbolic language, saying the son will eventually conform to the label placed upon him by someone that children inherently trust.
Right.
Their father.
Right.
And so that little saying, I think, speaks powerfully to what James was saying, that if early in life... And sometimes later, but let's begin with early. If early in life, somebody we trust or somebody of significance in our life, a mother, father, an older sibling, another relative, a school teacher.
Right.
If somebody of significance that we trust says something very painful and destructive about us to us, that affords Satan the opportunity to set the course of our life on fire with that harsh negative word. For example, let's say a parent is very perfectionistic.
Right.
They demand perfection of themselves and of their children. Tough sledding if you're in that kind of a household. Because the same chapter that warns about the tongue setting on fire the course of life also says we all stumble in many ways. Right. So tough to be raised by a perfectionist because you never measure up. So again, let's not get off course. You're raised by a perfectionistic parent, and in their frustration with something you did or didn't do, they say to you, "You will never amount to anything. You're a disappointment to me." Words like that Velcro themselves to our souls.
Right. Wow.
And words like that can set the course of our life on fire in a number of different ways. One, we can be so browbeaten and discouraged by that and take it as gospel truth that we go through the rest of our life expecting to fail.
Right.
Expecting that we will never amount to anything.
Right.
And sensing that whatever we do, we're going to be a disappointment to our parent. And let me remind you, you can still be trying to win the approval of a parent who is deceased.
Wow. You've seen that.
Oh, yeah. My dad died 20 years ago. But I still hear his harsh words echoing in my heart. Wow. And there are times I still feel like I'm trying to prove myself to him. That's not my testimony.
Sure.
But I've heard people say things
wow.
like that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
So that harsh word from a respected or significant person in our life can set the course of our life on fire. And we can either fall into lockstep with it, as I said, just accept failure, set low expectations for ourselves.
Right.
And assume that no matter what we do, it won't be enough anyhow, so why bother?
Yeah, what's the point?
Or we can take the other course and spend the rest of our life in fervent effort.
Overachieve.
To make ourselves something and to prove that was a false statement.
Right.
The problem is, if you take that course, I've seen it again and again, enough is always a little bit more than what you've done.
Huh.
You'll never do enough to prove that parent was wrong.
Right. Wow.
If you become a successful businessman, he won't be successful enough.
Right.
If you become a successful professional, it won't be successful enough. There'll always be something more you could have done.
Right.
So whether it's resignation or fervent attempts to prove contrary, it sets the course of your life on fire with unhealthy things.
Right.
So what do you do when that has happened? And trust me, happens a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, sometimes I just shudder when I listen to an angry parent and what they say to their kid in a supermarket aisle.
I know.
Or a Walmart aisle.
I know.
I mean, just like, just, and you look and think, my Lord, that kid's starting life with one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel.
Right.
I mean, what chance has this kid got?
Yeah, I've seen that too, and it's just
it's just
time to pray for that kid.
You just, if you're packing, you want to pull it out and shoot the parent. But they discourage that in Walmart and Giant Eagle and Costco and Sam's Club and wherever you shop. But so what's involved in correcting that?
Right.
First of all, as I said in our 91 weeks conversation, you have to recognize the damage.
Right.
You have to recognize that that unrest in you, that pessimism in you, that resignation in you, or that drivenness in you had its roots in something said to you about you that should not have been said.
Right.
You have to recognize where it comes from.
Right.
Generally, you know, but sometimes it's still hard to admit it.
Yeah.
Because let's say it was a parent. We want our parents to be good parents.
Right.
So sometimes it's hard to admit they blew it with us.
Right.
Now, of course, you can go overboard with that. Everything's mom and dad's fault, and that's a different conversation. But sometimes it's hard to admit that that person we idealized, that we looked up to, deeply wounded us.
Right.
Recognition is greatly assisted by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Holy Spirit has a better memory than we do. He knows everything that has touched our life. And if we're asking, Lord, show me the source of this in me, he'll take us back to those conversations, to those moments that we really haven't forgotten, that at best we've suppressed.
Right.
We've buried them in a shallow grave and they keep coming out.
Survival mode.
Yeah. So first is recognition. Recognition that that word from a human being was not a word from God.
Amen. That's right.
That wasn't God's verdict on our life. That was a flawed human being's verdict on our life, on our personhood. So we have to recognize that. And we have to recognize how it's impacted us. We have to be willing to say, you know, much of my success comes from an unhealthy drive.
Right.
Or my lack of success, much of it is rooted in the fact that I accepted a lie.
Right.
So we have to recognize the damage that was done, and that a painful, hurtful word from another human being is not from God. Now, Satan will suggest it was. He'll say things like, well, your own father was disappointed with you. Imagine how your heavenly father's disappointed with you.
Right.
Hey.
Right.
If your own parent thought you were a loser, what does God think of you? So the enemy taps into these things. He doesn't forget them either, because he was there when they were said.
Oh, man.
See, the That's verse right. you read?
That's right.
Set on fire by hell?
By hell. Yep.
He instigates and inspires people to say horrible things about us and to us, knowing it'll set the course of our life on fire.
That's right.
Okay? So we have to recognize the damage it did. We have to recognize how we've been responding to it ever since, how we've allowed it to be a prison.
Right.
Or a script for our life. We have to recognize it wasn't from God. And we have to recognize where it came from. And ultimately, it had its origin in hell, in a demonic desire to wound deeply and wound early.
Right.
Because that's where Satan gets the most bang for the buck.
Right.
Wound early, wound deeply, and I would say wound through a significant other.
Right.
Okay. But then that recognition should lead to another recognition. And that is the person who spoke that to us wasn't bearing testimony to our inadequacy. They were bearing testimony to their own pain. People say something harsh to another human being. Often what they're expressing is their own pain, their own frustration, their own disappointment, their own anger.
Insecurities.
Their own insecurity. It's a fairly long list.
Right.
And they're transferring it. Psychologists speak about transference, which is a very real thing. They're transferring all that junk over onto you. They're letting their harsh words be a release valve for their own pain. So hurting people always hurt other people. They take their own pain and dial it down a few notches by throwing some of it your way.
Right.
For example, that person who practices road rage and pulls up beside you and reams you a new one. And you think, all that because I didn't see them coming and they had to slow down a little bit?
Right.
No. That's not because you didn't see them coming and they had to slow down a little bit. That was just the occasion for them to release the pain of an argument they had with their wife that morning, their frustrations with a child who's addicted to opioids, their anger towards their work situation that they're going to spend the next 8 hours in, their frustration with their own weight, their fears that they aren't going to be able to pay next month's bills, and they got to get that out, so they blow it off on you.
Right.
All right. All that to say, we need to recognize that if a parent, a spouse, a loved one, a teacher said something harsh to us, they weren't infallible in what they said. They were likely just giving voice to their own pain.
And we need to recognize that.
Yeah, that yeah. It wasn't an accurate assessment of our life.
Right.
But it was an accurate indicator of the pain in them.
Right, right.
And I say that because if I recognize they probably said that because of their own pain.
Right.
My dad was a perfectionist with me because his dad, Grandpa, was a perfectionist. And he was struggling with that.
Right.
Right. And didn't know what to do with it. And in that, he passed it my direction. He was doing what he had seen done to him.
Right.
Sins of the fathers visited upon the ensuing generation, see?
That's right.
That depersonalizes it. In other words, then the spirit can begin to say, so it really wasn't so much about you as much as it was about pain in them.
Right.
Then that leads to the next thing. You can release. You can release them from the guilt of their deed by extending forgiveness toward them.
Is that a process?
Usually is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could say, my dad said something horrible to me that impacted me for years, but I forgive him. I don't believe he meant that. I believe it was coming out of his own pain and his own dark place. And I'm going to release him by forgiving him. Okay? Now, when you release others through forgiveness, you release yourself. Because, you know, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you.
Wow. Yep.
You're releasing yourself from having been imprisoned in the negativity of that word that was spoken over you by releasing the person who said it with forgiveness based on the recognition they were badly handling their own dark place.
Right.
And when you do that, you release yourself from the continuing negative influence of that harsh word. You come to the place, and you have to say it to yourself often, especially if that word has tyrannized your life for 30 years. You're not going to undo that in 30 seconds.
Right. You're right.
But you remind yourself that wasn't God speaking his verdict on my life. That was a person with their own pains, handling them inappropriately. And that should not and does not set my template for life, my horizons, my potentials, and it should not shape who I am. Right. So recognition, release, and then I'd say a third thing is reminding yourself of those realities continually. Because, as I just said, if it's been influencing you for two decades, you're not going to get over it in 2 hours.
All right.
You need to keep reminding yourself of what I call God's contrary truth. You accepted a bogus truth because of who spoke it.
Right.
But now you need to hear God's contrary truth. No, you're not a loser. Yes, you can amount to something.
Right.
You already do amount to something because God don't make no junk.
That's right.
Okay. You have to hear his contrary truth because it comes from it's not bogus truth. It's real truth.
Right.
Okay. And you need to find those scriptures that debunk the lie that set the course of your life on fire. And you need to read them frequently. You may need to put them on a piece of paper. You may need to put them on the notepad of your phone. You may need to put them where you see them regularly, and then you claim them. You not only remember them, you not only remind yourself of them, in a sense, you rehearse them.
Right, right.
In your life. God said, I'm claiming that, because though I may feel differently, that's who I am. That's what I can be. That's what God is making me. Hey. So, we recognize a lot of facets to that. We release, and then we remind ourselves and keep revisiting God's truth. And in all of that, over time, because it took us time to get where we were, it'll take us time to get out. Over time, we allow words who have their source in heaven, God's words,
right,
to undo the effects of words that were set on fire by hell. And in so doing, then the course of our life can be set by heaven, by God's word, rather than set on fire by hell. Words are powerful.
They are.
I mean, we all, you know, we used to say sticks and stones, names can never, no, names hurt you long after
right.
The wounds of sticks and stones are forgotten.
We have never done this on a transforming conversation, and can we just end it with a prayer for those.
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going.
Yeah, for those.
God told me. Greg's gone to there.
who still struggle today,
yeah,
that just can't get out of this rut routine.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
they let a word be the template for their life.
Yeah, and just asking for God to break that in their lives.
Yep. Father, we pray today for anybody listening to this broadcast whose course of life was set on fire with pain by a word spoken to them, a word that itself was set on fire by hell. Pray that you would help them through their listening to this to recognize the source of that word and know it was false, to release the person who said it and forgive them, and then to daily remind themselves of your contrary truth.
Amen.
So that the course of their life might be set by your Holy Spirit, who wants to lead them in the paths of righteousness. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.